When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Bulletin.
Right, let's get straight across to the Bulletin, and on the way there to join Jamie Wall. Carl, you're absolutely right. If you heard that piece of news, Scott Dixon did pay tribute and dedicate that win this morning to Sir Colin Giltrap. You nailed it. Carl, well done. So Jamie Wall will nail it this morning. He'll be in a particularly good mood because his Hurricanes found the formula in Suva. It wasn't a day game in Lautoka, but they were good. Very good again. And they have got some depth, Jamie Wall.
Yeah, they do, and they're probably going to have to tapping into it over the next little while because it is a very long competition, and it looks like Asafa Omoa might be out for a little while with an injury, which is probably the only downside of the win they had up in Suva over the draw there, because they were the first team to be able to go up there and win this year. Yes, there's a couple of couple of differences. First off, they were playing in the evening, and so it was a little bit cooler and a little bit less humid, but only a little bit. Like I've been up there when it's and it's still pretty warm at night time. And they were also playing in Suva and not Lautoka, which is a much more modernised stadium with better facilities and a nicer pitch than the one you get over in Lautoka. Don't get me wrong, like Lautoka looks like a really cool place to go and watch a game of rugby, but the facilities apparently are not much more than what you get at a local council ground in somewhere in New Zealand. So the Hurricanes did have the benefit of being in a much more hospitable environment that they had, but still had to deal with a very, very noisy crowd and a fired-up draw team that they managed to just kind of put a lid on early and then tackle their way to victory. So it was a pretty impressive night, because that one could have been a real banana skin for the Hurricanes there.
It could have been, actually. If you look at their run-in now, if you look at their run and the balance of their squad, odd injury aside, are you as confident as you've been since the Chris Boyd days?
I'm never going to be 100% confident with the Hurricanes. Look, I'm not actually going to believe that they're the champions with all the trophies literally in their hands. Like, I've been burnt by this team so many times in my life. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. But they do have a pretty interesting run in, like all the New Zealand teams do. They've stacked up this draw to make it so these derby matches like all the way up until the semis. So I think it's going to be, even though the Brumbies were absolute trash on Saturday night against the Blues, like that was so disappointing, that performance from them in that loss. I think that this is going to be a tough ask for the Hurricanes this weekend to go to Canberra and get a win. You know, it's a place where most teams traditionally struggle. So that's going to be an interesting one this Saturday afternoon. And then they've got the Blues, the Chiefs and the Highlanders to finish off in those three games in 4 weeks, as well as the Waratahs and Moana, who they, you know, they'll be fairly confident of beating. So they've got to come to Eden Park, which will be another big game, and then go to Hamilton as well. By then, though, just sort of depending on other results, I mean, it's going to come down to looking like coming down to them and the Blues as to who's going to finish top of the heap and get that that home advantage for the final, which I think is really important for both of those teams because they're both very good at home.
Right, let's also look at the other end of the table. Not a lot of sympathy from a lot of quarters for the Crusaders, but more concern, and it seems to be an annual concern for the Highlanders, as Jeff Wilson pointed out earlier, they're not besieged with injury. What we're seeing is what we're getting, and it isn't good enough.
No, it's not, and it hasn't been good enough for a while with this mob. It's kind of getting to the point now where it's you're like, well, how do we actually fix this? You know, like what can be done to A, make this an attractive destination for elite level players, because for it's basically its entire history, the Highlanders, even when they won it, the Highlanders organization has been a place where you're getting the offcuts, the guys who are either, you know, on the fringes of other teams, or players from just trying to make get a break, young guys trying to get a break in the competition, and they need to move on from that and be a place where they're going to be having more than just Aaron Smith as the guys on the team sheet who we need to watch out for, and now they don't even have him anymore. Don't get me wrong, like there's some real talent in that team. Like Billy Harmon is you know, in the All Black conversation right now. Jacob Radomaitovuki-Nipkins, it'd be a bit of a stretch if he was to make the All Blacks, but he's definitely there and thereabouts. But I think also the reason why those guys are so prominent is because they haven't to do it all themselves. You know, Harmon's going to have to do all the tackling, and Radomaitovuki-Nipkins is doing all the ball carrying, and they're just not getting a lot of help. Like, I get it, like, one of the New Zealand teams always has to finish at the bottom. Like, that's just the way it is. And it always seems to be the Highlanders. I think they really need to look at their coaching setup, what's going on down there. Like, clearly having Jamie Joseph back hasn't really done what they wanted it to do, so they need to maybe just sort of have a look at, I don't know enough about the setup down there and the environment and the relationship with the local community and things to really pass judgment on the wider organization. I don't know that. But just on the field, it's just clear that just things aren't clicking, and it just feels like there's just a bit of a resignation that this is just going to be a season like every other season for this team.
Let's go away from rugby for a little while anyway, because really good result from the Black Caps. Pakistan 178 for 4. New Zealand 179 for 3. Mark Chapman, player of the match performance, with Dean Foxcroft, Tim Robinson finding a little bit of form at the top of the order. I've got to say, I didn't expect them to dominate Pakistan in any of these games, and that is dominance.
Yeah, this is about as a professional as a one as you can get, especially bouncing back from what were they bowled out for the other night, like 90 or something?
90.
You know, getting fully flogged like most people expected them to in the first game, to then, bounce back and just complete like a really nice run chase, you know, that it was never really in doubt, built around one beginnings, which is what you need in a T20. You know, like 178 in Pakistan, like that's about there or thereabouts, I guess. Like, it's defendable, so it's not like they rolled them and then just crawled their way to victory. Like, this was a good, well-balanced run chase built around a really good innings, and it's great to see Mark Chapman getting some runs, because he has to, like all the other guys you mentioned. Like, it's obviously an understrength Black Caps team that they've put out there. And it's great to see some fight out of them to bounce back. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll take an unlikely series victory here.
Geordie Barrett, just moving back to rugby, off to Leinster. I see we talked about Leinster last week. They got their comeuppance in the weekend, so they got knocked out. But, Geordie Barrett there. I'm not sure about the financial side of things. There's a nice family connection there. What do you make of this move?
Yeah, well, it is interesting. It's good that you mentioned the financial side of things, because he's definitely not doing it for that, because if he was, he'd just go with his brother up to Japan and probably get paid, I think, from what I can understand, probably about three times more than what he'd be getting it in Leinster. It is kind of interesting, though, because I think here in New Zealand, we've all come round to the fact that once an All Black reaches a certain point of their career, you know, 50, 60 tests or whatever it is, or is clearly like a key member that can go away and come back, like Geordie is, because really he's one of the first names you're picking in the back line there, that they will do something like this. They'll go off and I'm not going to call it a sabbatical anymore, because they're clearly not. We need to stop calling these that. They're breaks from New Zealand rugby, because a sabbatical is when you go and have a rest. and he's not going to be having a rest in this competition. There's no rest and rotation policy in European rugby. He's not going to be getting waiver out of every five games off like they get in Super Rugby. So if he wanted a rest, he would have stayed here. That's the irony about this situation. So I think it is pretty much accepted here in New Zealand that these guys are going to do this. So there wasn't any angst over him doing this. The real angst is coming from overseas. It's coming from Ireland, because as you probably know, Leinster are clearly the most powerful province in the country. They not only have the biggest stadium, but they've got the biggest catchment area. They have the all the better rugby schools around that they can get their talent straight out from. And the reaction over in Ireland has been like, Leinster are good enough without being able to just handpick All Blacks to come and play for them on these sort of deals. So I think his move's going to cause a bit of angst for a team that's already very much not liked from outside their own region, and not just in Ireland either. Like in the whole United Rugby Championship setup, they are seen as the rich boys who kind of get it their own way. I would compare them to the Crusaders a little bit, obviously not this season, but that's kind of how the feeling already is around there. So he's stepping into a situation where he's going to be probably copping a lot of scrutiny for his performances over there, and I applaud him for that. Like, I like the fact that he's going to go somewhere that's a challenge, and I think what it's going to do over here as well is get people on this side of the world tuning into rugby in the Northern Hemisphere, which is something that we just don't do. Like, outside of the odd Six Nations match, there really is no interest in the domestic competitions up there, and it's a bit of a shame. You know, it kind of goes. It's a bit to rugby's detriment that, or at least rugby followers in New Zealand's detriment, that there really is no interest or knowledge of what goes on up there. So, you know, when England show up in July, well, when the average punter in New Zealand isn't really going to know much about this team. Whereas when the All Black, when it goes the other way, it's very, very different. Like, up there, they keep a good eye on Super Rugby and what's going on down here, and the knowledge base of the All Blacks up there is different. And I feel like, yeah, it's something that New Zealand fans could really work on, and a move like this could change that.
Oh, I just brought up something interesting in my mind anyway. Do Scott Robertson, the All Blacks connection or whatever, they have any jurisdiction over insisting on players having a breather when they're overseas like they do here?
No, not at all. And we've just seen how little control New Zealand rugby has over this with the Sam Kane situation. I mean, he's apparently been injured for 10 weeks, and because his Japanese club doesn't even want to put out a press release about it, New Zealand rugby and the All Blacks can't do that either. So it's just been this mystery as to what Sam Kane's been up to, when really this should be in the news all the time. Like, what's he done? How long is he going to be out for? How it's going to affect his All Black chances? We just don't know anything about it. So if they can't even get a press release out of a Japanese team, how are they going to tell the top-ranked Irish team that's gunning for a European, Champions Cup or United Rugby Championship? How are they going to tell them, hey, this guy can't play this weekend because we just feel like he needs rest?
Interesting. Right. A code swap for Joey Manu.
Yeah, this is going to be pretty interesting because obviously there's a connection there with Ian Foster and the team that he's going to, and obviously Ian Foster was involved in the last big-name code switch that happened, which was Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, who's now not so happily after the weekend's result, back at the Warriors. And I hope that Ian Foster's learnt what not to do with a code switch. I'm hoping that Joey Manu starts out nice and easy out on the wing and then hopefully works his way in to the midfield, which is where I think, you know, ideally he'd end up. Like, he's a great athlete, and Ian Foster has had his eye on him for a while now. I remember, I think it was back in 2021, the issue first got raised because there was a bit of a rumour that Joe Manu had been talking to the Chiefs at the time. Ian Foster was asked about it. He didn't completely dismiss it. So it's something that's been bubbling away in his brain for a while now. There is enough time on Manu's side to, you know, get a decent run, bit of rugby in, if he was going to pursue an All Black jersey. He hasn't obviously made it completely.
Oop, we might have lost Jamie. We might have lost Jamie Wall. It sounds like we have lost Jamie Wall.